The Lord has spoke to me this year that this year would be a year of opportunity. And I was looking for some great revelation, some amazing thing to be able to get. But the Lord said it will be opportunity. The Lord has told me that I will have opportunities this year. The Lord told me that you were going to have opportunities this year. The Lord told me this church will have opportunities this year. What an opportunity is, the Lord told me, is it will be Him opening, Him positioning, Him ordering, and Him lining up the right circumstances, the right situations, the right people, the right places, the right times for this year, you to go from just desires that you've had in the past. He will be opening up doors for opportunities in our life to be able to change our conditions. He's going to open up doors to be able to change our positions. He's going to open up and create opportunities for His Word to actually come into fruition into our lives, allowing us to be able to accomplish the mission, the dreams and the desires that He has put inside of each one of us. Now, that all being said in that manner, I didn't understand. I mean, you know, we were privileged. The baby was born in Alabama. Jennifer's doctor's in Alabama. So we were waiting on the baby every day. And so we couldn't do a lot and those kind of things. And so I had a lot of time just sitting, just say, God, what this year is going to be different than last year? What do I need to change, or what do I need to do? And Lord really began to unroll some things in me. Thing about it is, I can't make this year different. But God told me He's going to give me opportunities this year that will have the opportunity to change everything. Now, the word opportunity is a positive word, and it puts positive mindsets in people when they hear that word. But what you've got to understand is opportunity is not an automatic. As a matter of fact, synonyms for the word opportunity means chance. There is a chance this year for my world to change. There's a chance this year for your family to change. There's a chance this year that every dream and opportunity that I have longed for, the doors can be open. An opportunity is the right set of circumstances or locations to line up for a desired result. God is putting them in our future this year. God is putting in our future chances that if we will recognize, can change it all. Now, the thing about opportunities, God is a God of opportunity. But not everyone takes the opportunities they're given. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up and a kid, Mom and Dad gave me many opportunities. And I missed a lot of opportunities that they were trying to give me. They would give me an opportunity to learn a lesson, and I would miss that lesson altogether because I had my own way of thinking, own way of doing things. I've had opportunities to get jobs, and I would miss those opportunities. Some when I was younger because I would show up late and miss that opportunity. Or, you know, say that there would be things, there's opportunities that were missed. And the truth of the matter is, everyone in here, if you thought long and hard enough about it, you can look back at hindsight and see that there's been great opportunities you've missed as well. Looking through the Bible, the Lord really started speaking to me this back in the Christmas season when I started looking at the Christmas story, and the innkeeper came to mind, and he was doing what his heart desired. He was building a business and making a living for his family. And the Bible says an opportunity knocked on his door that day. And he was so busy, so involved, trying to take care of, not doing wrong, but trying to take care of those that were in the house, that he didn't realize what God was trying to do for the house. And when the Savior knocked on that innkeeper's door, the innkeeper did not recognize that this was an opportunity to meet every one of his dreams, desires, and goals. Like we said during the Christmas holiday, what if the innkeeper would have said and recognized what was taking place and said, "Oh, Mary Joseph, come in. I know I don't have room for you here, but come into my room. I will share. I will make room for you where I live." That inn that he was working so hard to keep, to this day would still be booked up. People would long to be able to stay in the room the Savior was born in. You talking about turn a business in from an ordinary hotel into a magnificent, people travel around the world now to go see the manger today. Missed opportunity. Was it because he was wrong? No. He was supporting his family. He just missed an opportunity that God brought to his door. Now the Bible's full of people who have missed opportunities. There was, Abraham, his father, the Bible says, the Lord told him to go, rise up and go into the wilderness. And it says he reached a certain town, and it said this. It said he settled there. And then it said this, and he died there. So his son heard the same voice from God, and it said, go into the wilderness, leave your father and your mother, go. And he did it. And he became the father of many nations. Now, his dad, you would think and be looked at as the father of many nations, but it's really he became the grandfather because he missed his opportunity. Because on his journey in there, he found a place of settlement. It says he settled there. He didn't do anything wrong. He didn't do it. There became a settling in his spirit that he thought, all right, this is far enough for me and I can be content and happy here. There's many people in the Bible that missed opportunities. The day that David rose to fame and became known as the greatest giant killer to ever walk the face of this planet, when he showed up on that battlefield that day, his brothers were standing on the same hill, looking at the same giant. They had been raised the same way, taught the same principles about God. But when they saw the giant, they did not see opportunity. Even though they knew what the reward would be. They knew the reward would be they could marry the king's daughter, making them an instant prince. They knew the reward was going to be that their dad's house would be tax-free. And they knew the reward would be a large sum of money. But they saw it, but what they saw was how big the opposition was. So when they looked at the circumstance, they said, that's just more than I'm willing to do. Their little brother David showed up on the scene. The giant had been up there for days and weeks. Their brother saw this opportunity and saw this opportunity and saw this opportunity and saw this opportunity. But the Bible says when David showed up, he saw the opportunity and he decided to take it. When God brings about opportunities, there are some that will rise up and they will say, that's mine, and they will take it. And there will be some, though, that will stand on the sidelines and they will watch God do mighty things. Now, did David's family's whole household get blessed? Absolutely. His brothers got to reap the benefit of his father's house being tax-free and the ease and comfort of being related to the king's daughter. But they could have been princes even when their brother was a king. Because, see, David had already been anointed to be king, but they just missed the opportunity to step into royalhood by their own actions because they just didn't see the opportunity. The Lord has told me clearly this year that this was not going to be a year of great battles for us. This will not be a year of great defeats and great struggle. This will be a year of great opportunities. He's going to open doors that you've dreamed and destined in your heart for so long. We will have opportunities this year to see them come into fruition. Now, that being said, we have to get into the understanding of what actually opportunities are. I'm going to read a story here with you this morning. And it's really probably a picture of an opportunity that was nearly missed, but at the last second it was reached down and grabbed hold of. And so we're going to take it, and today we're going to get into this story, but I'm not going to go all the way through this story today. Next Sunday, because of the time and things going on, we will not get through it. So we're going to do point one in this story, then point two. I know this. For some of us this year to even be able to receive an opportunity, some of us need a revival. Before you can even muster up the hope to grab a hold of an opportunity, some of us need to be revived. But like the Lord told me that before opportunity comes to us, this year the doors are opened in our lives, then what has to happen? Some of us have to be revived first. So not next Sunday, but the next Sunday, I'm going to be speaking on a dead little boy that God was able to revive. And God's given me a plan, or not, God has shown me the areas in my life. So if you're here this morning, you've got dead dreams. You've got dead relationships. Maybe you're in a dead-end job. Maybe you've got no hope and no heart left in you. You don't need to miss the last Sunday in January. We're going to be preaching on what the Lord gave me this year on how to revive myself and my dreams and my relationships and things that the enemy has tried to take from me in the past. We're going to revive them. But before that, we're going to take these next two steps we're going to take on the next two Sunday mornings. Now, I'm extremely excited about this one, because I tell you, already this year, I'm so proud. Aren't you? Wasn't it fun, Pine Bluff, last week? How many of you guys enjoyed that? How many of you guys were there last week? All right. It was a powerful, I saw the videos and things like that. But I was asking God, give me, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I just get spiritually mature. And, you know, going into this year, I was like, God, if this is a year of opportunity, really, if you're really speaking, then show me. Show me an opportunity you're giving us. Amen. And that day when I was talking to the Lord, Dad called me and told me about the building that was given Victory Pine Bluff that y'all were in last week for an unbelievable ordeal. And it's probably the best. Y'all saw it on there. Amazing building. Amen. And so I was like, God, that's so cool. This week, I got a phone call. Phone call wasn't supposed to come to me. It was actually supposed to go to my dad, but they couldn't get my dad, so they called me. And you're talking about a year of opportunity. And you'll hear more about it later as I go, but I'm just going to let on the other end of it was someone we never would have thought would have ever called us. And this is what they said. They said, Cricket, I need to get a hold of you or your dad, or we need to talk, because there's a church that's running about 300 that in a brand new facility, brand new building, seats about 500, and they want it to become a Victory Church. So what can we do to make that happen? And you're talking about opportunity. You know what I'm saying? You know how some churches long for that? It's in another city, in another place. And Dad will begin to... I said, you need to call my dad. And so they got... What an opportunity. Because if you don't... Some of you guys have been with this from the beginning here. And you know the work it took to get this church going and get us to this place. And God just says, you know, it's going to be a year of opportunity. What does opportunity look like? The Bible promised the children of Israel that when they got their promised land, they would live in houses they did not build. That is opportunity. Now, they didn't have to go into the promised land. They could have just accepted the promise and settled outside, which one tribe of Israel did. When they got to the river, they said, you know, it's just too much trouble to go across the river. Y'all go, we'll stay. And you see that same, it was the tribe of Gad, and you see that same tribe in the New Testament, and you find Jesus and the disciples on the boat, getting in a boat on one side, and they went across the sea, and the great storm. And then when they got to the other side of the sea, they showed up, and there was a kid that was bound by demonic influence in his life, and it says he was from the tribe of, he was a Galilean, which was the ancestors of the group of people that didn't cross over in the river in the Old Testament, and it said there was no one on that side that could set him free. It took Jesus coming across. I'm telling you, it is of utmost importance for us to accomplish the destiny that God has called and you've put inside of you and the desires and the dreams that you have, for you to see them fulfilled, you've got to decide it is worth going across for. Because if not, your families and your children and your finances will constantly be at a place where God is having to send somebody to minister to you instead of you being the one to be able to minister and change those circumstances yourself. There are opportunities that have to be seized. And this will be a year of opportunities. And not normal opportunities. I loved it. A couple days ago, Raj called me. Was it 2 days ago or yesterday? It was 2 days ago. Friday. It was Friday. I don't know if you guys know it, and we're going to be kicking it off back in February, but over the last 3 months, man, life has just got heavy and hard at points, going through some of the things through last year. And Raj and Amanda, they run the Celebrate Recovery Ministry. And you know, things got real busy, real hard, and they had to, I say it's a recovery ministry, and, you know, I went to them and I saw they were carrying too much on their shoulders. Now, I know for a fact they would have kept carrying it. But I also didn't want to see anything get broken or hurt because they were carrying too much. And so I asked her, I said, guys, can we pull back recovery for 3 months till the first of the year? And Raj, he just be honest, he got upset about a minute and said, why are y'all asking me to give up? Y'all don't trust. No, I tell you what, I trust this man with my life. But I knew there was a shifting going to take place. And in February, we're kicking back up our recovery ministry on Friday night. But Raj called me. That worry, he sent me a text. He said, Creed, you said we're going to start it back first year. When are we starting it back? So he was pushing me. And I said, Raj, when do you feel that? He said, February. All right. He left that. I got that this week. Then like 2 days later, he sent me. I was running a chainsaw, so I didn't hear the phone ring. And so when I was running his chainsaw. And so when I put his chainsaw down, I saw he says, man, God is so good. I called him. And on a day he didn't think he was going to make any money, a deal came about before him that he saved thousands of dollars just on getting equipment. Then he actually did a job and made cash. And they gave him the opportunity to do a $14,000 job next week. And Rod said this. Rod said, Cricket, he said, we got to get a new church van. He said, I'm going to believe God. You probably, and how many years? We need a new church van. We didn't crank this morning. So, hey, but that's an opportunity. Opportunity. This is going to be a year of unusual opportunities in your life. So, like I say, in a couple weeks, we're going to have to move to a place. I'm going to be dealing with reviving dead dreams, reviving dead desires, reviving dead hopes that you've been moved up and given up on. But today we got to move to the point of how to move into an opportunity. So we're going to read out of John chapter 5 in verse 1. I'm going to watch my time. It says, after this, there was a great feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate, a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. One translation says pillars. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. And whoever stepped into it first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now, a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition, everybody say this, a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? I'm gonna jump in and out of it. Well, let's read it and then I'll jump in and out. The sick man answered and said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool, but when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and he walked. Now, we're going to get into a lot of parts of this story next week. This morning, I want to talk about this one thing. One, when Jesus got there, do you realize what he said? He says, do you want to be healed? For opportunity to be recognized and for opportunity to be seized, you first have to understand this. God cares about what you want. See, a lot of times we get these dreams and these desires or these goals in our hearts and in our minds, and we think that there's no way God would want to do that for me. Or we let circumstance change our thinking about it. Or we even try to get super spiritual. God really don't, these things really don't matter to God. It's spiritual things the only thing God cares about. Or it's, you know, different. You've got to understand that God made you. And the way he made you and the way he formed you, there is not another you. And we could go into all the parts about your fingerprints and your toe prints and your hair colors and your DNA and your, you know, your even your tongue has its own individual print. So individualized and so detailed and so, the Bible says, he knew you before you even formed in your mother's womb. So wonderfully and beautifully created. You are such an amazing work of art. That there's no chance that your wants, your desires, and your dreams were not connected to your design given to you by God. See, we can understand that I'm different, but you've got to understand that your desires were God-birthed as well. So many times people have such a hard time trying to find this, what is my purpose? What is my destiny? And they quit. They just all along don't even look at the blueprint that God has already put. They're trying to hear it from out here when I'm telling you, God's put it inside here. The Bible says, I will give you the desires of your heart. I've talked about this a lot of times. It's not what you want he gave you. He gave you the want. Like I have shared before. I'm different probably than most pastors. I'm way different than my dad. My dad, in his heart, he wants to hurt with people. And that's what makes him such an amazing pastor. His wants are so different than mine. I'm more of an evangelistic type personality. I want to grab you by the hand and I say, let's get up and go and let's not do that no more. That's my thought pattern. But see, because I'm different, and it's never made me wrong, but it's different. Like, when you find somebody wanting to go on the mission field, when I see people, and man, I'm so excited. We're as an opportunity as a church, get to send Sarah on a mission field this year. Thank you guys so much for giving to her last week. Thank you. You're making a difference in this world. And like I say, there's also, she has now set up a GoFundMe page. For you to be able to give. I personally asked her to do it because I wasn't here last week to give. And you don't understand. I am so happy to give to missionaries because if I give to them, then I don't have to go. I've done missions before. I did 6 weeks in Argentina and I found out real quick I was not called to rough it out there. I'm called to be in the ministry in America. And so I'm so glad when somebody says, will you give for us to go overseas? Absolutely. Because if I can keep them going, I don't have to. Praise God. You don't understand. If you've ever been to a foreign country, third world country, that's tough stuff. They're not going to play. I thought it was a playground. I went over thinking it was going to be fun. It was fun. We built houses and we ministered. But oh my gosh, I tell you, you couldn't tie me on a plane and send me back. But opportunity, and the way she designed to even desire to go into Asia. That is amazing. When I see and I find those people that are willing to lay down their entire lives and go raise their children on the mission field, I think, man, but what it is, that's the way God designed them. And they have these desires in them that was only given to them by God. And that's not a selfish desire. That's not somebody doing that on their own. That is truly coming because why would you do that? Why would you subject your... So, I know that's designed by God. My wants and my desires are designed by God. Now, let me show you how to connect them to God. Because you can have desires and they not be connected to God. The Bible says Joseph had a dream. And when he had a dream, and he was in a field. So that tells me what to do with my dreams. His dream was a dream of promotion. His dream was a dream of authority. His dream was a dream of prosperity. He had all these dreams. So how did he connect his dream to the will of God for his life? In the dream, they were harvesting grain. And you remember the brothers gathered them up and the brothers bowed down. When you connect your dreams and your desires to the harvest field or to the work of the Lord, it begins to reveal your destiny in your life. When you begin to connect your dreams, and whether they be dreams of authority, whether they be dreams of position, whether they be dreams of possession, when you connect your dream to the harvest field, it begins to reveal your destiny of your life, your mission, what will completely make you happy. And so, with those dreams, what takes place, you got to understand that God created you this way. And so when Jesus showed up here at this well, and the first thing he said was, he didn't say, what's wrong? He didn't come up and say, oh, poor you. He didn't show up and say, you know, is there anything I can do? This is what he said. He says, do you want? Some of us have to move back into a realm this year before opportunity can ever come back to our feet. We got to move back to the point of having a want again. Abraham's father, the Bible says he got to that town and he settled there. The exact word, Genesis, he settled there. Some of us have moved into a place of life where we've finally gotten to where we can make it and we're comfortable and we can settle. I can say, well, you know, I would like it if God could do something, but you know, I'm all right. I can deal with this. For some of us to move into a year of opportunity this year, you've got to move into a place. What do you want? And are you hungry and do you want more? Because when Jesus shows up to you this year and says, do you want? It's got to be alive in you enough for you to be able to answer yes. This guy in this story, he done moved to a place where he basically said, no, Jesus, I don't want to be healed. Did you see that? Because he said, do you want to be healed? And he said, well, every time the water moves, somebody steps over me and there's no, I don't got anybody. He didn't mean, if you come up to me and say, Cricket, do you want $1 million? There's one word out of my mouth. One word. I'm not going to explain how my bank account can't hold it. I'm not going to explain to you that I don't even know how many zeros are in that. All I'm going to do is say, yes, if you've got it, I want it. Moving to a place of getting your want back. Because what's happened is when you move to a place where your want is gone, you move to a place in your life that God isn't controlling your heart. You say, well, that don't sound weird. Yes, because the Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart. Do you want to see your mate change? Do you want to see your job situation get better? Do you want to see this church grow? Do you want to see your kids living for God? Do you want? You've got to start asking yourself, what is it you want? Because, you know, most people don't know what they want. Most people know what's wrong. Most people have not taken time long enough to look at what's wrong to figure out what it is they really want. Because if you were to read the words that he put in his story, all right, Jesus could have said, all right, here, I'll loan you one of my disciples here until the water stirs again. Because he's, I don't have no man to put me in. If you listen to his words. And the truth is, most people don't know what they want anymore. They know what's wrong, but they don't know what they want. What is it that you want? Because the opportunities that will appear this year in our lives, that the Lord's going to open doors and ordain steps. The Bible says he orders the steps of the righteous. It says the steps are ordered by the Lord. Do you understand? I've taught this many times before. This is a step. And God ordering a step is not me saying, God saying, Cricket, take a step and I do it. No, that's God ordering me to take a step. But it says he orders the steps. That means this year, he will take things and he will set them up, giving you the opportunity to take the step. In other words, your boss may not want to give you that job, but he will order the steps to line things together. You get the job. You may not, this, it's a year of opportunity that he's lining up things that we can take. But the thing is, most of us don't even know what it is we want going into this year. We know what we've been through. We know what's been broken. We know where we're hurt. We know what's happened. And we know what's wrong. What is it you want? What opportunity are you asking God to open in your life? So he said, Jesus showed him and says, what is it that you want? And taking all the words that the guy rambled on about, much about, we're going to move to the next word that Jesus spoke. The next word that Jesus spoke, he said, what do you want? And then Jesus spoke this. He said, rise. You have to understand the reason why you don't have the opportunities that you're desiring now, because the truth is we're not at the level to receive them or take them. Before there is ever, ever a God open door, we have to be ready to be able to take it. We have to be able to rise to the occasion before the occasion's there. See, he said, arise. Then he said, take up your bed. Then the miracle took place. He said, walk. Rise, take up your bed, walk. So this morning we're going to take a minute and we're going to look at, one, do you really have a want? Do you know what it is? And if you don't, you need to spend the next 7 days in your prayer time before the Lord defining what it is you're wanting from God. God cares. He wants you to have. He wants you to be. He wants to bless you in a way. Check this out. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, it is my desire that you prosper just as your soul prospers. He wants everything about you to be blessed. The key is getting into the soul part of your life and figuring out what it is you want. Why didn't he say just as your spirit? Because most of the things keeping us back is not spirit. It's soul, mind, will, and emotions. The way we've learned to think and the way we've learned to practice. And so opportunities have come about. And because our soul's not prospering, no, we're not moving it into the things of God and getting it renewed by the word. No, what happens is when the opportunity arises, our soul cannot perceive it. All the way through the Bible, there's people that have missed great opportunities. Let me give you a great example. The Bible says that the Good Samaritan, when the guy got beat up on the road, one out of three had the eyesight to be able to see the opportunity that lay there. Why? Because the other guy's thinking process was completely wrong. One of them thought he was better. One of them thought he was too busy. It was their thinking processes that caused them to miss an opportunity to be looked at for the rest of history in an amazing light versus looked at as not to do it like them. And with their jobs, they wanted to be influencers. Priests and Levi, they wanted to be influencers. But they missed it because of their thought patterns were on. Their thought patterns didn't know what they wanted. They thought they knew what they wanted. And they missed great opportunities. So one, we have to know what we want. I'm asking you, your homework this way. You go home and you define. Don't pray about what's wrong. God knows what's wrong. Don't pray about what's broken, what you need. Pray about, really come to a place. Find out what it is you want. Last Wednesday night, I preached on the steps this year that will make everything you do prosper. We went into the secret of complete and total success. And that's just that, because the Bible says in two places, if you meditate on the word day and night, it says you will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You'll bear fruit in its season. Your leaves will not wither. It says, and everything you do will prosper. In Joshua 1:8, it says this. It says, if you meditate on the word day and night, it says you will be a good success and everything you do will prosper. And so last Wednesday night, we went through a process of, see, we're all trees. Thing about it is, all the way through the scripture, the Bible tells us that we're trees. And the thing about it is, most of us are trees and we plant ourselves by the wrong kind of water. Some of us are planted by, we talked about, ditch water or cow pond water, stagnant water. Some of us, I had a bowl of toilet water. Some of us plant ourselves by the toilet bowl. What is the toilet bowl water? Toilet bowl water is water that has the gravitational pull on it. In other words, you planted yourself around things in your life, around things that has the pull of the world on it. You're getting pulled by money or getting pulled by relationship. But the Bible says if you'll plant yourself by the rivers of living water that only come out of the scripture, everything you do will succeed and prosper. So we went into detail last Wednesday night on how you can be able to move into reading and studying the Bible this year different than you ever have. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to deal with the dream that you have. We're going to be dealing with, and when you say it, everybody cringes, but it's called prayer. The Lord started with me about 3 months ago, and I'm going to coin the phrase, pray dream. And I'm saying Wednesday night, we're going to begin to talk through the process, how to pray dream. Because, see, most of us have no idea how to pray anymore. And that's not a new thing because, see, the disciples, they didn't even know how. So they came and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And even after he taught them to pray, still when it was time to pray in the garden, they kept falling asleep and they didn't do it because, do you know why? They didn't know how. And you say, well, why didn't they know how? The Lord gave us the Lord. The Lord told me, because I was praying about this about 3 months ago. I said, Lord, why is it so hard for me to make my prayer time happen? The Lord told me, because you don't know how. And I was like, what are you talking about? Don't know how. And this is what he told me. You don't know how to make your prayer life something you enjoy and look forward to. Do you know I daydream every day? You daydream every day. How many guys driving down in your car and you hear a song playing and you daydream you're sitting there singing that song? Or you watch it. I watch those Survivor shows on Discovery Channel all the time. And the one with the, like, right now, the new one is Alone. I watch them think, man, that would be so cool to do. I sit there dreaming. I go, thing about it is this. There's probably 3 to 4 hours a day I spend in my day daydreaming about stuff I would like to do. The ability is in me. And I enjoy doing it. You know, we got in trouble for daydreaming when we were kids. But the truth is, we enjoy doing it now. And you, if you catch yourself, you enjoy, if you're single, you may daydream about being married to this person. Or daydream, if you're married, being daydream to somebody, married to somebody. I don't know why you daydream, but you spend time daydreaming. But the Lord began to take me through the process a few months ago about how to pray dream. And it has completely changed my prayer life in a way it's never been changed before. So we'll be dealing with that Wednesday night. We're going to go through the process of how to pray dream. The devil said, Lord, teach me to pray. And that's what I began to pray about 3 months ago. Lord, teach me to pray then. If I don't enjoy praying the way I should enjoy praying, then I need you to teach me to pray. And just as he taught his disciples, he began to teach me. And man, I'm telling you, the funnest time of my day right now is when I'm praying. I used to have to do it out of discipline or out of need, out of foxhole praying. Now I do it because it's really the one time of day. When you begin to pray dream, your dreams get bigger. They get bigger. And you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. So this, you getting to a place where you're wanting, you've got to know what you want. And that's only going to come out of prayer. It's only going to come because he gives you the desires of your heart. He gives you those wants. So the next 7 days, I ask you, spend your time praying and asking God and you refining and getting it down to a point. What is it I really want you to do this year? Because you have not because you ask not. And so if you're asking the wrong guy like this guy, you're blowing. But then he said this. Jesus said, before you can get what you're wanting, there has to be a repositioning in your life. You have to move to a place. He said, he used the word rise. Rise. You've got to understand. Do you know most of the miracles in the Bible that Jesus did, he started off saying, rise, rise up. And then the disciples, when they have walked with Jesus all those years, and when they began to do the miracles that Jesus did, as a matter of fact, Peter and John were walking in Acts chapter 3 into the gate called Beautiful to go to church. It says it's the hour of prayer. It says there was a lame man laying there, and he was begging. He says, silver and gold have we not. The man wanted money. Silver and gold. But he said, rise up and walk. Amen. There is a step that must be taken by you and me before the miracle or the opportunity can be revealed or received. So we're going to talk about this for a few minutes. We'll get into the process of rising. Now, when you see the word arise in the scripture, it's usually coupled with another. If you were in my text streams a couple months ago, I texted this scripture out to hundreds of times. Joe, if you'll go to Isaiah 60, verse 1, we're going to read about 3 scriptures here. He told him to rise. Before he got what he wanted, before the miracle took place, before the opportunity was the question, what do you want? You will not get your opportunities this year until you get to a point where you know what you want. If I came to you right now and I asked you, what do you want? You'd probably say a better job. All right, that sounds like a good answer, but that's very generic. What makes a job better? People you work with, the amount of money you make, what it is you're actually doing on that job. Most people don't even know. All they want is a better job. What do you want? I need more money. That, you know, we know what you need. That's obvious. What is it you want? What is it, opportunity, are you desiring God to open? What do you want? Well, I want a husband this year. Well, they're easy to get. They're easy to get. As a matter of fact, some people get five or six of them in their lifetime. A husband is not a want. What is it you want? You want a Boaz, because a Boaz is a husband. He was good looking. He was rich. He was wealthy. He was a leader. He was compassionate. He had love for it. You want the right kind of husband. And you got to take time to figure out what that kind of husband is. What do you want? First, you've got to get the want. Then you've got to get the step, and the step is arise. In Isaiah 61, it says this. It says, arise, shine. Now, you're going to find these two words in the scripture are usually linked together because one affects the other greatly. If the first motion isn't taken, the second one is affected. He said, arise and shine. Now, Jesus told countless people in the Bible, and actually 255 times in the Bible, the commandment to rise is in there. But when Jesus was in his teaching and his talkings, this is what Jesus said. So there it said, well, let's read this verse. Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen on you. Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to brightness of your... Everybody say that word. Rising. He said, you're rising. First, you get it, the want, but then this next step, the Bible says, is what positions the steps and the opportunities. It says, kings will line up to your rising. It could have said, to your light. But it didn't. It says, to your rising. In other words, by you making these steps that Jesus told that blind man to take, these are the things that will cause opportunities and positions to open in your life. It's the rising. We keep waiting for the shining. You've got to understand, you already are shining. Go real quick to this. Joe, go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. See, we keep thinking, God, just make me shine. Just make me, I want to shine. I want to be your light. You are his light. You are his light. This is what it says. It says, you are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Now he says, he doesn't say become the light. He doesn't say one day you will be a light. He directly made the statement that you are the light. And when you begin to understand the potential that is inside of you already, you don't have to do anything to force, fake, or try to make happen. The rising begins to change in your life. If you knew how powerful of a person you are, you got to see, a lot of times we get it messed up in our minds that God needs you. God don't need you. We talked about this a few minutes ago. God wants you. He wants you. The reason why he wants you is because you are so amazing and your potential is so huge to make such an impact that he created you because he wanted you. And when he created you to want you, he put it, it's like we share this, and I'm going to keep saying this till everybody gets this, the number one understanding you have to have. God did not create you for a job. The same reason why I did not have three daughters for a job. I never plan on them having to clean my house. I never plan on them having to go to work and support me. I never plan on them having to go get a job to pay my bills. I never plan on that. That's not why me and Jennifer had these children. We had these children because there we knew there was more in our life that we wanted. And so we had these children and it changed our lives in such a positive way. We just love them for not anything they do. Now, are we always pleased with what they do? No. Do we make them clean their room sometimes? Yes. But we love them not because we need them. I did not need to get a bigger SUV to haul more kids around. That cost me money. I had a sports car when I got married. And I don't no more. I did not. As a matter of fact, getting those children complicated my life and complicated things. But I wanted them. And when I got them, I loved them so much. And see, a lot of times we think God created Adam because he wanted love and he loved Adam so much. And because now we're thousands of years and billions of people later, that God don't love us as much. I want you to know something. I don't know how God did it, but I thought I couldn't love Alexis anymore. I didn't think there was any more love in my heart than I had Haley. And boom, I found out I could love 100 times more. And then I thought I love these girls so much. There's no way I can love anything more. Now I have Isla. And I love a million times more. See, just because you're billions of people away from Adam means God loves you a billion more times than he's. Because he could have, if all he loved was Adam and Eve, he could have stopped then. Amen. But see, he knew there was something in, and he knew that you would bring so much pleasure, the Bible says, to him because of who you are, that it blew up on the inside of him, and you are so amazing. That, yeah, I say this, he loves you more than he ever loved Adam. I'm telling you, when Adam sinned, he killed an animal. When you sin, he sent his son. God loves you so much. So you are the light. He invested everything he had in you. So you don't have to try to be a light. You are a light. You don't have to get the potential to shine. You have the ability inside of you right now to shine so bright, to transform everything in your life. So why is it that we don't? It's position. He said, rise and shine. The shining in you, you can't do. Because, see, when you allow God to come in, you can't make him any better than what he is on the inside of you. All you can do is position where he is in your life. That's why he says this, seek me first, kingdom of God. Seek first, kingdom of God. All these things to be added. The higher you position him, the more you raise him up, the brighter you shine, the better your life gets. Bible says Solomon prayed this, Lord, make me famous. See, we feel bad about praying about things like that. God, make me famous. That's so fleshly. This is what Solomon prayed. And God did it. Do you know he became the most famous person to walk the face of the richest person to walk the face of the earth. And we still look at him as the wisest person to ever walk the earth. God made him famous. Why? Because he said this, so that I can show everyone where it came from. He knew what he wanted. And he was willing to position himself to where God could do it. And when God did it, it changed everything. See, the rise part. So we got to get the right part. The shine in you. You are the most amazing, the most gifted. You are better at what it is God created you than anyone else is. No one can do or accomplish what God created you to do and accomplish with the ability, not to do, but with the ability to do and accomplish. See, God don't need you. The world needs you. So if you needed to be needed, this world needs you. That's why there in Isaiah said this, rise and shine, and I'm going to put you in the land of the Gentiles, and they will see the glory that I have put on you. So who needs you? The Gentiles. Who needs you? The world. Who needs you? The lost. Who needs you? It said, I'll put you in the darkest place, it said it in Isaiah 60. He has put you in your situation because you have the ability to change it. You don't got to be looking for somebody better than you. You're the best. Sometimes we gripe and complain about the families we're in. Do you understand the reason why God put you in that family? Because you have the potential to save and change that family. Some of us complain about our jobs. The reason why God put you, the Bible says promotion comes from the Lord. The only reason why you got that job is because God knew that within inside of you is the potential to affect that in an amazing way. So he opened the doors and created opportunities for you to change that. Every promotion comes from God. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Lord. It's in you. You have these things. You are these things. So if you've got your head looking down, thinking, well, I'm just nobody, I'm just a poor. Let me tell you what's wrong and why we can't raise above that. Every one of us have a picture we have in our mind of what life should look like. When you're born, whether the homes you're raised in, the circumstances you're in, we all have a picture of what it is. And so what happens is that picture guides us through our life. And the thing is, you're not going to be happy until that picture is fulfilled. Thing about it is this. Going through life a lot of times, we hit obstacles and we hit interruptions or things happen and enemy attacks. And what happens is that what happens is what we think what our picture should be, circumstance, situation beyond our control or any things we can't do anything about makes it look like we can never now accomplish that picture. And that's when you find depression. And you find suffering. You begin to suffer when you begin to believe that you can't accomplish what you think life should be like for you to be happy. There's two things you got to do about that. One, if things are in your life and you don't think that you can make what you think it's going to be anymore, what you need to do is you need to change that picture. You say, well, what does that mean, change that picture? This was, so see, I can tell you that you can predict people's behavior once you find out what that picture they have of themselves in. If you see yourself as a drug addict, it's just a matter of time before a circumstance hits and you take drugs. If you see yourself as an alcoholic and you think, well, my dad was and his dad was and I am. If that's your picture, it's a matter of time before you hit a wall and that's going to become your picture. You'll be an alcoholic. Now, if you see yourself as a recovering alcoholic, you can be okay. It all comes down to what? So how do you change your picture? The Bible says Jesus looked in the scripture and he found himself. There was a picture of him in that scripture that changed what he was going through. That's why he didn't question the cross. He didn't want to go through it, but he didn't question it. But what did he get out of it? It says he endured the cross for the joy. Change your picture. Change your picture and you'll find how to be happy. If your picture does it, when you look at it and it's a negative picture, and you say, well, Cricket, how do I change my picture? You get in the scripture and you find what God thinks your life looks like. There's over 7,000 promises in there that draws a picture, takes a photograph of what God, the Bible says, I know his end from his beginning. That means God's already got a picture and he gives us that picture. And if we will set our picture, anything you see yourself, you will do. If you see yourself failing, you're going to fail. That's where faith comes into play. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can have faith in the wrong things, and that's what you get. Or you can get faith in the Word of God, and that's what you get. Because what is faith? Is the substance of things hoped for. What is that of thing? It comes out of a Greek word. It said, things expected. You expect somebody to be rude to you, they're going to be rude to you. Expect somebody to be hateful, they're going to be hateful. You expect somebody to overlook you, you're going to be overlooked. How do I know? The Bible says, seek and you shall find. People sitting in this room right now that have already found something negative going on in here today, you came in here looking for it. People sitting here go to work, and they get mad by the end of every day. They went to work looking to get upset, looking to be offended. Because whatever you're looking for, the Bible says you're going to get. Seek and you shall find. And then it moves it to the next step. And if you can't find it just by looking, you'll start knocking. You'll start hitting somebody on the line beside you just to get them upset so you can get upset. Tell you, it's a human thing. You seek it, you're going to find it. And if you hadn't found it yet, you're going to knock on something and the door will be open to you. It's going to be available. You will get what you ask for. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. It's the principle of planting hearts. So the thing about it is, if you don't like what you're getting right now, change what you're seeking. If you would have hit that car door this morning and said, you know what, I'm going to get something from God today, and I don't know what takes place or what goes on or what they mess up or who says what, I'm going to get something from God, you would have got something from God out of here today. It would have happened in the praise. It would have happened in the prayer. It would have happened in the meditation. It would have happened somewhere because you will get what you look for. And so learning to watch people, I see now people that want to fail, they're going to fail. And there's nothing I can do to stop it until they realize that they've got to rise up and change something, change their position of the way they look at things, change the position of the way they talk about things, change the position of the way they think about things, because you're going to get what you look for. And if you're thinking away, if you're talking away, if you're acting away, if you're looking, I'm telling you, my dad, you can't make the man mad. You can't. Mom can, but you can't. I was working with my dad and a group of guys at his house when we were remodeling his house. And we were right coming to the very end of the project. His house was just about renovated. And we had some what they called acid stain. And dad was, it's stain that has acid in it. So there is no fixing it. It stained concrete. And he had this one color. And he was going to put it in the garage and this other color somewhere else. And one of the guys picked it up and dumped the whole bucket of acid stain right in the middle of his just finished garage. And dad was there. I was there. The two guys were there. And I just knew, I was like, praise God, that was not me. If this would have been in my garage, I would have seen if somebody's tongue could have cleaned that up. I was, you know, my dad stepped back. He looked at it and said, you know, I wanted that spot right there. I just didn't know how to get it there. Thank you. So, he's just chosen to look at things different. He has chosen to rise. Now, I've got a clip real quick. I want to share it because the next scripture, I want to finish this scripture and show it to you. We've got to understand, you are so amazing. Your family is so amazing. Let me hit this spot real quick. This church is so amazing. This church is an opportunity like there is no other church in this city has an opportunity. This church has the multi-ethnical group in here, and no other church has this. This church has people with the biggest problems in it than I've seen in any other church. I actually had a preacher ask me this a few months ago. Man, how do you deal with all those people that are so messed up? I said, this is what I told him. I said, they've just not figured out I'm more messed up than they are, so they haven't left yet. This church is such a unique beast. And like I said, you've heard me, I don't call this a church. I call this a family. Because a family is this. There's not a single perfect one in here. And you don't belong to a perfect family because there aren't perfect families. But the thing about it is, nobody wants to be without a family. And this is the best family I can be in this city. This church is such a unique church. I'm telling you, you come in, this church has such uniqueness in it. Everything about it, we don't do anything right. We don't do anything. I'm going to say it. Well, I don't. I mean, our praise team is amazing, but we don't do anything well. You know, our colors don't even match what a church should look like. And we can't never know what temperature is going to be in this building when we come or go. There's so much what you can say is wrong with this church. But I'm here to tell you, this is the brightest opportunity for any church in this city to shine. Because although we may have problems, we have the greatest potential to be different than any other church in this city. Why? Because that's what we want. You're here because you don't want to go to church with everybody just like you. You're here because you don't want to be a part of something you've always been a part of if you've grown up in it. It's different. Church is one of the greatest potentials in this city. Your shine is the greatest potential about you in your life. And you getting to be a part of who you are, and you being a part of the church, and you being a part of your family. You understand? That's where your potential lies. But check out what the next scripture says here. It says this. I've lost it. Well, it says it. I don't have mine, but we're going to read 5:16, Joe. I cut mine off when I print it. You're the light of the world, it says. It says, let your light, what kind of shine? So shine. See, we've been talking about the potential you have to shine. You can shine. There's nothing keeping you from it. And already at this church, at the level we are at this church, we are already an amazing church. But that's not good enough for God. He says this. He says, let your light so shine before men. Shining won't do it. That's why he opens opportunities in our lives. Because God wants more for you. God wants to be able to do more through you. God wants to change more from you. So he says, so shine before men. Now, you got to understand, how does that thing say? It says, let. Now, see, that puts limitations on God right there. Because God can shine before men. But what he's saying is, me and you have to move to a place where we let God shine. So what a lot of people don't get, what shine, so shine, the difference between the two. Shine is what you are.